The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
August Hair Lemonade, USDA organic made. Someone in your life throwing shade. May I suggest holding this jade? On Instagram, it says you meditate. So let's be friends, no hate array. Loving life, learning, getting laid. But some things keep retrograde.
Oh, welcome to That's So Retrograde. Hi, friends.
Hi, friends. How are we doing?
How is everyone doing? I'll say something. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know how to be a person right now, and it's fucking up my entire framework of myself.
Hard same.
It's like, do I really have to come on this microphone and talk? Or can I just keep digging this hole deeper underground?
I feel you.
I'm a Scorpio. I need somewhere cold and dark and alone. I can't deal with this anymore. No, but to be serious, like, wow, wow, wow. Just checking in, you know, it goes without saying that culturally we're dealing with some very enormous, nuanced, spiritual, practical, energetic situations. Not only is democracy up in flames, but we have five planets in retrograde and it is wild as hell out here. Hello!
It is no joke. Every single person I've spoken to feels anxious. They are upset. They're feeling out of their own bodies. Like, it is universal, which is a little bit comforting.
It is comforting. And I'm like somewhat jealous of those who can like opt out of participating for a moment. Like, and what I mean is, like, obviously we're all for systemic change. Like, goodbye racism. Hello. Like, if that's the work that needs to be done right now, like,
here
for that. Like, obviously, goodbye. And, you know, I think we saw this coming. We were picking up where we left off from the 60s. The astrology was all pointing to this being like this revolutionary moment. And it's like so fucking cool. And I think that the tech of it all and the way that we're connected through technology is probably going to be one of the ways in which this revolution advances further than they were able to advance just because of the sheer fact of our connectivity.
Absolutely.
That being said, I'm going to be taking a self-inflicted Instagram Mercury retrograde break because it's just too much online for your girl right now. How do you feel, Elizabeth?
I am right there with you.
It's like,
I think that as a tool of connection and learning, it is so there. But I feel personally like it's pulling me out of my own exploration and my own education around the things I'm feeling called to go deeper on.
That's exactly right. Like, you look at it and you get zapped, and then your ability to inquire deeper or be creative with how you engage and all those things is like sucked out of your eyeballs before you even have a chance to investigate mm-hmm. what your purpose in this time actually is.
Right. And, you know, in terms of this show, which we love it to always be Posy Fairy Moon vibes.
As we try.
Say. We got that name from a listener. We love that so much.
Thank you for that. It's honestly like one of the joys of our life.
The truth is, it's actually hard to go about business as usual because the world is not in a place of business as usual.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what you and I have been talking about is just like we want to show up for the show and show up for the content we're putting out there, but we're both in a moment of listening. And that doesn't necessarily mean staying silent, but it involves a lot of conversations that we're having with our friends and our teachers offline mm-hmm. that we want to bring to the show that takes time.
It takes time. And here's the thing, like, we're living in this very inflammatory moment and I don't feel like the internet is a safe space at the moment. And like, it never has been, but it's just like everything is being screamed and canceled and aggressory and misinterpreted or overly, I'm just like, I want to have these important conversations offline so that when I come online, I'm saying something that's actually productive and helpful. So it's right. challenging to be people who have microphones, because to really know how to like affect change requires contemplation, it requires planning, and it requires really absorbing information. And I've always felt like when you don't know what to do, do nothing. But I'm kind of taking a page out of the Nicole Sachs book now. And I'm saying, when you don't know how to what to do next, just do the next right considered action. And for me, and I think for you, the next
one of
right
my favorite
considered
phrases.
Action is to shut down Instagram so that we can focus on what is right in front of us. It's a Cancerian retrograde. We can focus on Cancerian things like ourselves, our emotions, the ones that we love, our home, things that we can actually make comfortable to strengthen ourselves for when we really need to show up in this new way that is coming from a time of insane spiritual reckoning. Like, look, guys, like the things that we're asked to deal with right now are coming from hundreds of years before us. It's like the Pluto return of the fucking America chart that Ambi talked about, that Shannon talked about, all that stuff. That's deep, deep, deep structural reimagining. It's not going to happen by yelling into the void of Instagram only.
Right. And I actually, to what you're saying, in the conversations I'm having with the people in our lives, everybody is feeling like that particular medium isn't really acting as a place of service.
Mm-hmm.
It's helping to point to a lot of issues, but I don't know if it is doing anything other than making everyone upset.
It's making everyone upset. And I love that it shows you where to sign petitions. And I do love the little things like that. But
there are like newsletters and there are websites and there
yeah.
are other resources
yeah.
for that is what I'm saying. And, you know, I always love, there's something Bill Maher says where he says, the internet has become this woke contest that nobody can win. And
yeah.
what I am feeling is that to that, it is stifling healthy conversation that allows us all to learn and evolve and connect.
100%.
It's like the antithesis of that.
We need to make space for conversation. And what I think we need to fucking not make space for, what we need to cancel is cancel culture. We need to cancel the reactionary, inflammatory, and maybe canceling it is fighting fire with fire, and that's the wrong word. But what I mean
our
is
our platform is cancel culture.
Yeah,
you're with us?
It's no. consciousness culture, not cancel culture. You know, if you have a problem with something or you don't like something, engage in rhetoric about it. Don't mm-hmm. just fucking come for somebody. Instagram and Twitter are not the people's court. Instagram is not CNN. Like Mikey told me that Joey Maloof said that to him, and I was just like, that's fucking genius. Like, these platforms, not everyone needs to be fucking Judge Judy and Anderson Cooper. Those are my two favorite icons in yeah. the space.
Those are
But all I'm
great
saying
pillars.
Is it's just too much energy coming at one direction. And I also
right.
think that it's like, I don't know, I'm just seeing like trolls and anger, and I'm just seeing a lot of like dark vibes. And I'm like, this isn't helping what needs to happen right now, which is that we need to come together.
Right. And all that being said, you guys, our listeners, are amazing. No one's come for us. When we took a week off, I had a
yeah.
few questions. People were like, did anyone say anything? No, we just really felt truly in our hearts how important it was for us to take some time for contemplation and listening
mm-hmm.
and taking it. And, you know, there are voices right now that need to be amplified, and we want to point in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So we took a week off of the show.
Yeah.
And that's really like the ultimate form of self-care, to just be like, hold on, I actually need a sec.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was thinking something that I've been doing is my mom is like obsessed with government, you know, and so she sent me a copy
yeah.
of the Constitution. And one of the things that I watched in this time was the 13th. And I was like, wow, like this is something that like we should all know about. And then it started making me, and if you don't know, the 13th is a documentary about the 13th Amendment, in which they basically legalized slavery by another name. And that made me think, like, wait, I have like never even really read the Constitution. I only know the preamble, which I've known since I was 12 years old, which is what we
all
know. I
can sing the entire preamble because that was my scene in Schoolhouse Rock at my summer theater camp. I had a bonnet on.
Wow.
I could start if Bring you back, want, but maybe no, that'll be like
too.
A bonus.
We all know the preamble, but we don't know what happens next. And I think that's the problem is that we really want to engage with the government and change and activating in a certain way. We need to re-educate ourselves and understand mm-hmm. really how that works. And
right.
I love technology. I love the interconnectivity of it, but it's fucking up my ability to engage in the future in a way that would, like, if we shut down Instagram in like 2 months, we might come forward and have like plans of action and ideas and like organized thought, or we may have written something wonderful, or we may have a new show to launch that's going to help people in a new way, or whatever it is. By focusing our attention on something that feels so intense and dark, it's deterring from our ability to do that. And I feel like I'm repeating myself, but it really needs to be like hammered home because this is a fucking long journey that we are on. We are not going to destructure the entire structure of democracy and capitalism in 3 fucking weeks. I love the awakening. Thank God it's here. Thank God it's so explosive. But now that it's exploded, there's no room for you didn't post about this or you posted about that, but you tagged that. And I see you're commenting on this and you're commenting on that and your silence is your violence and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yo, no, that is not the way that we're going to make change long-term over time. Rant
really,
over.
Really true. No, I'm just like slow clap, standing ovation here in my kitchen, just like here for that.
I mean, what do that I know, Elizabeth? Said. I woke up and smoked weed and laid on my floor for 3 hours today, okay? I really am just trying to hold on yeah. to my hat.
This all speaks to we're all trying to hold on to our hat.
Yeah.
As I said, I don't know anybody who isn't the world is going through it right now. Our nation is going through it right now. And we're all individually in our homes going through it collectively.
Amen, sister.
And I want to bring this into the conversation today because that is why this conversation feels so important. There has been a massive issue around joblessness that has come up seemingly out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think as all of us, we had a projection for what this year was going to look like when yep. it came to our careers, and that has been turned on its head.
Yep.
And we want to speak to that today.
My
so
pupils
we're
were dollar signs, and now they're fire. Now they're made of fucking, just in flames.
I know, when Remington said this 2020 is going to be like a warm bath and getting paid, more like just the warm bath to like soothe our anxiety.
More like a scalding hot bath that like will never cool off.
The scalding hot bath that I create to replicate some sort of infrared sauna because I miss that.
Yeah, yeah. The scalding hot bath that is only there to create more pain so I can't feel the pain on the inside. I can only feel it on the outside.
All that to say, guys, we're doing great. No, I think it's important to say, like, we feel fucked up right now, too.
Yeah, we're fucked up, bro.
And, like, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And I think calling that out and being truthful is what we can do right now. And, like, we always aim to be truthful on the show. And things feel hard.
You know, when you start and to know is when you say you don't know. Something like that by
exactly.
John Lennon.
So as I was saying, we have Amina Altay. Beautiful name. Hard for me to say it for some reason.
Yeah.
She's joining us today to really go deep on specific questions from our listeners when it comes to career pivots and questions and changes. So let's just get right to that conversation right now.
Can't wait.
Okay, quick break to talk about Parsley Health. Stephanie, you know, one of my favorite advancements in the wellness space.
What is it?
Telemedicine, buddy.
Oh, telemedicine. Wow, it really does sound like the future. Back to the future, guys.
And with Parsley, the thing that I really love partnering with them is that one of our most asked questions is around accessibility to functional medicine. And Parsley has a membership program that is completely living online. Parsley covers the 3 critical things research has shown to be missing in healthcare today. That's 0 copays, highly trained physicians, and unlimited access.
And it's worth mentioning that Parsley was founded by a doctor who had a vision to make modern holistic healthcare accessible to everyone. And a fun fact is that they help most members reduce their prescription drug usage by 66% over 1 year. That's huge. That means they're attacking the cause and not the symptom of some of your previous diagnoses. And they're going through things from your hormones to your gut microbiome. And you're just getting a lot of time to focus on long-term preventative care, which is the name of the game.
And their online care program, as you mentioned, they've got a complete care anywhere, which allows you to access your doctor and personal health coach from anywhere online. I just want to go over quickly what the Complete Care Anywhere membership includes. Do you want to hear it?
Of course I do.
Okay, so you get 12 months of care with unlimited online messaging, wellness guidance, and prescriptions. 5 visits with your doctor per year, plus 5 visits with your personal health coach trained in nutrition and behavioral change. And then they help usher you into advanced biomarker testing. That's genetics, hormones, inflammation, and microbiome as needed. Mm-hmm. And then you get your personalized health plans created by your doctor. I mean, it's nutrition, it's fitness, it's sleep, it's supplements, and more. Parsley Health is offering our listeners an exclusive offer for $150 off of a year-long membership by going to parsleyhealth.com and entering the code RETROGRADE. That's PARSLEY health.com with code RETROGRADE to get $150 off your year-long membership.
Let's get back to this episode.
Let's do it.
Because it's also good for my health.
It sure is.
Okay, wow. So Amina Altai is joining us today.
Yay!
You've been on the show before.
Hey, hey, hey. So happy to be back.
Same.
Why don't you, in your words, what do you do?
What do I do? Who am I? So
easy question, right?
So easy, so basic. We got this. I'm a holistic leadership and mindset coach, and I help people connect with their purpose. And I do it through what I call a mind, body, and business approach. So looking at what's happening in our mindsets and if those thoughts are supportive, looking at the messages our bodies are sending us because we're always in communication. And then what are the strategies and tactics that we use either in our businesses or our careers that are setting us up for success or not so much. And I mostly work with women, and it's been amazing and such a journey. And I'm so excited to be back here with you two.
Same.
We're so thrilled to have you, especially guiding us through this particular moment that I think, you know, everybody has had an individual experience in regards to the ramifications that this time of COVID has had on our personal lives. But I think the one thing that is universal, if not happening to us, then happening to someone directly in relationship to us, is challenge around career. Mm-hmm. Either a forced pivot, a new considered pivot, you know, having to completely change your job direction, or feeling the call and wanting to.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just all of us are considering these things right now. For Steph and I, we're so happy that we've been able to continue doing the show, but the format in which we do it has completely changed. We really had to just kind of like roll with what was available and kind of let our creativity and technology drive the ship, which...
But I will say, like, even though we're lucky to be able to keep doing it, there's still like... It's not very easy to just be like, now my home is my office all the time. And like learning to kind of like delineate, like, when am I working? When am I chilling? Like,
when do I switch on?
Yeah. Like being alone all the time, it's hard for me to really know when I'm supposed to be working and when I'm supposed to be hanging out. And like, it's kind of this like weird energy. Like, that's honestly what I'm like working with Lauren Zander on, is learning how to like create structure in this new place. So it's like on every level, it's very strange. Yeah.
It's a universal contemplation for everybody that hits a lot of different areas.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an interesting moment that we're walking through, a really profound moment in human history, and it's traumatizing and it's deeply painful and it's raw. And it's asked us all to go home, right? To stay home. And in that, I think there's a metaphor for us in coming home to ourselves. Well, that's what I believe too. So some of these forced pivots or pivots we're being asked to take, we're also being asked to re-examine, well, how am I showing up in the world? And what do I want to carry forward? And I believe that what's on the other side of this for us is what humanity needs, exactly what humanity needs. So as we're home, as we're asking ourselves these questions, how can we step deeper into the truth of who we are and then show up that way in our careers?
Yeah, like almost as though like if you prior to this were doing something that was like really far out of alignment from like what your purpose is, it's like the universe, COVID, whatever the fuck is at play here was basically just like, that's not serving enough things and it's not really even serving you. So you need to, that it's like that gift.
Yes. And it's so hard to see it that way. Like let's, yeah. Right? Some of these feel so hard. People have lost jobs. People have lost businesses. People have lost loved ones. It's a really traumatic moment for us. If we can ask ourselves what the meaning is for us in this moment, we'll get to the real gold. And you know, I had a moment at the beginning of the pandemic too, where a project that I'd been working on for a year, and I know I'm not alone in this, and this is such a small example, but a project that I'd been working on for a year, which was a book proposal, fell away. My agent was just like, we can't take a risk on a new author and someone who doesn't have a huge platform, like, bye. And so my first response was emotional. At first, I was like, oh my gosh, this is unfair and this doesn't feel great and why? And then I was like, okay, like, what is the meaning in this for me? And especially the social cultural moment that we're in right now, I was like, oh wow, okay, the book, the work wasn't ready to be out in the world yet. It's actually growing into something bigger because what I'm walking through now is cultivating me in a way that I can speak on something in an even bigger and deeper way. So there is profound meaning in that falling away from me. And so if we can ask ourselves that and take the time to find the meaning, it can really support our purpose.
I love that. So
yeah, I really like that you say that being able to zoom out and see maybe like where it's leading us next. I mean, I can speak to, I've spoken about this on the show. I've been fired from two jobs. The two jobs I only had where I ever had bosses, I was fired, you know? And like those were, well, the first one was a huge hit. The second one, I was at CAA, which is a talent agency. And I was like, I do not fit into this company culture one bit. So it was like only there for 4 months. So it was a blessing to like just be let go because one more month and my soul would have been gone. So all of that to say is, you know, at the time, those firings, the first one in particular, when I worked for Rachel Zoe, was so traumatic. It led me down a deep, deep path that really guided me into like creating a career that I knew served purpose for me. So like, that's not to say it wasn't challenging and it didn't take a number of years to get there and it didn't stir up a lot of self-questioning, but all of that, like that really, really dark period was so essential in forming who I am now.
Yes. And, you know, the universe whispers before it shouts. So there are these breadcrumbs along the way of us feeling that we're out of alignment. So like you were saying, like you didn't feel like you were a fit at that talent agency, but had you done something about it? No, we wait until the shouting and then we actually make a change or the change is made on our behalf. And I've so been there too.
Yeah. It's like, I feel that from a lot of people that I've spoken with who have been either let go or even like furloughed during this time. Like I know a lot of those people had the whispers in their soul of just like, oh, like this job, like I'm just not really sure like why I'm doing it. And like, I'm making money. And I think the money part is the hard part because it's like your soul can know that you're not really in the right place, but then your practical self is like, that doesn't really matter because I need groceries and rent and all those things. And like
golden handcuffs.
Totally. And they might not even be golden, by the way. They might just be like a
they might be bronze.
They might be a bronze. They might be, or a silver.
Maybe a dipped silver.
Yeah. Yeah. They could be a copper. Like it could be, they could be leaving green rings on your wrists. Like we don't know. I think that to me feels like the most potent kind of fear to address before we answer some of these amazing listener questions is just how to really tackle the hurdle of the financial burden of being let go before you can really tackle the how do I take my next steps and follow my passion and really like align, because the fear keeps you out of alignment.
Yes, so real. And there's so many pieces in what you just said, and I kind of want to look talk about all of them. So
sure.
One of the parts inside of that is, you know, we're experiencing collective grief and trauma. So before we can think about, well, what are the next steps and how do I choose an aligned career, we really need to deal with that grief and trauma. And like asking yourself, myself, okay, how does that word grief even make me feel? Is that real and true for me? You know, when we think about the stages of grief, where am I in it? And what do I need to do to reconcile this grief or to feel the feelings before I can actually get into action? So I think that's one of the biggest pieces.
Yeah.
I think that part of that too is like asking yourself inside of this grief of, well, what am I really afraid of? And what are my biggest fears? And then one of my favorite things to do is really fear sorting, right? Because oftentimes when we are feeling fearful, the voice of fear is a cognitive distortion, right? We're like catastrophizing or we're going to these extreme places. So taking a moment to really make friends with the fear and ask yourself, okay, like what's the voice of fear saying? Is this real and true? Like, is this a clean fear or a dirty fear, right? The clean fear is like, okay, that's totally true. The dirty fear is the one that's the, you know, cognitive distortion where we're maybe catastrophizing, like I was saying before. And so then we need to decide, okay, if this fear is real and true, well, what actions do I need to take to kind of mitigate some of the pain or the feelings or the fall associated with that fear? So what actions do I need to take to be in integrity there? And, you know, that's, I think, the most important work. And then, of course, there's the practical pieces too of like, okay, when we think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's like, well, we need a house. We need to feel safe. We need money. We need to eat. Those things are so important. So what can I do as I'm journeying to the dream? So a lot of the times when I'm working with people and they're in transition, I'm like, well, it's a moment to really think about the side hustle or the part-time work and making sure it's as in alignment as humanly possible. I'm never saying sell out on the dream or do something that doesn't feel an integrity for you. But what are the things that you can do to earn money while you hold out for the dream? Because we absolutely need that financial parachute when we jump off the cliff to stand in the great work of our lives. And when we don't have it, we end up, you know, failing the tests or settling for something that's not fully connected to our worth because we're afraid that we don't have enough money.
Totally. I love that you're describing the grief because, not that I love grief, but because that is such a real thing right now. Like Elizabeth and I were speaking the other day and she was getting emotional just thinking about like the things that were present in the world prior to what has happened. Like there's a long list of ways in which we're not going back to, at least for the foreseeable future. And I think that that encompasses also kind of whatever vision you held for your life at that time, you need to completely edit and revisit that. And I think letting go of the way that we thought that things were or would be or were going, like that's a mind fuck. It can be really hard to wrap your mind around that even as you imagine the process of it. So just speaking of like sorting through that, I think is so powerful.
Yeah, and like grounding in that and like that collective grief, that death of this previous life, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but it's a thing.
It's so real and we are all mourning. And, you know, so much polemic out in the world right now about how what was happening wasn't really fantastic and we're moving towards a much better moment. And I fully believe that. But we are. There's also lots of things that we did love and that we're working. We need to honor that and we need to mourn that. Otherwise, we will hold it in our bodies or we'll carry it forward.
Yeah, you can't just be like, well, yeah, like a lot of things were shitty and I was really burned out, so cool, and just like blanket over it. It's like,
right.
It's all of the things.
Everything.
And most people yeah. I'm speaking to are like, I'm really afraid for it to go back to the way it was because I wasn't operating in my truth. Mm-hmm. I was not aligned. I felt burnt out. Like there's all of these things that's like, great, let's move forward. But at first tackling that truth is like stage one. Mm-hmm. So what are your tips for really working through that on a personal level?
So really finding the work that's true for you and not moving backwards. I think it's exceptionally hard to ever take a step backwards once you've stood in your truth. I think you get there and then you're like, wow, how did I not hear or see this all along? And it's really hard to take those steps backwards. But one of my favorite things to do with clients, and this is always kind of the first step of our work, is to do something called the Aligned Leadership Framework, which is a framework that I've come up with that's basically around creating work that's in alignment with our authentic code and the truth of who we are. So we look at everything from what you value in this world to where your genius is, because I believe everybody has a unique form of genius and it's our responsibility to stand in it as many hours of the day as humanly possible. What brings us joy? what we want to impact and what we need. And then when we push everything through that lens, we have this beautiful idea, this beautiful picture of what our contribution to the world is. And it can, of course, evolve over time, but there are certain things that will always remain true. So even as you look at another job or even creating a new business, you'll go back to your framework and be like, I still value these things. I still want this impact. Maybe it's in a bigger way. This is still what brings me joy. And now this new thing on top of this brings me joy. But really that helps us create work for a lifetime and not just a season, because we're connected to our essence in that.
I think there's something along the way of the way our society or our schooling framed, you know, us moving into the workforce that like, it almost feels like it shouldn't be the natural thing to do the thing that it feels like effortless and wonderful to you. It's like it's supposed to feel hard.
Yeah, we're like groomed to think life is supposed to be hard.
Right. And that's like so much of been my unlearning is like, oh, ease and grace is available to me and teaching that too. But we are taught that this all goes back to shadow too, right? That certain gifts are amazing and certain gifts are less than amazing, where that's not truth, right? Everyone has a gift and we have to stand in that gift, right? So it's really about peeling back the layers of whatever's been projected onto us so that we can come back to our gifts and serve in that way. Because so it's so interesting. I look at three different areas, the excellent and the exceptional. And that's how I help you find your gifts. And when we stand in the excellent or the we use way more energy, way more mind share than we do for the exceptional. The exceptional is like when you're in that state of flow, like you're almost channeling. It's coming through you so effortlessly. Literally, you could stand in it forever. And you always have the energy for it. But when we are standing in those other areas, it takes so much more effort. Yes, you can become good at them, but you use resources that you don't have and eventually you deplete yourself.
Mm. Yeah, I think it comes from the like kind of like mid 20th century, like post World War II, like everything is just shitty and hard, like mentality. And we're just awakening to the fact that that's not like a sustainable world.
No.
Like, we know that now.
Right. And even the way like our workday is designed, I know you too, you've had Alyssa Vitti on the show, right? And
yeah.
Love her.
And she's coming back very soon, actually.
Well, in her recent book, she talks about the infradian rhythm and even how the workday is actually designed around men's hormones and not women's hormones. So the deck is stacked against us. And so we're now, only because so much work has been done leading up to this point, can we now come home to ourselves.
All right, Elizabeth, should we just take a time out really quick to talk about one of our partners who we are just increasingly impressed and obsessed with and by?
We're, of course, talking about Sakara, a nutrition company that focuses on overall wellness, starting with what you eat.
They have organic, ready-to-eat meals that are made with powerful plant-based ingredients, and they are designed to boost your energy, improve your digestion, and get your skin glowing. I mean, in times like these, if we don't have those things under control, I really don't know what else we can do.
You know, we've always been huge champions of things being delivered directly to your door and not wanting or needing to leave the house.
Trailblazers and not leaving the house.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say. We are trailblazers in the space of not leaving the house.
Yeah.
And Sakara is our go-to for this. And along with delicious meals, Sakara has daily wellness essentials like supplements and herbal teas to help support nutrition. I say this every time we record, but I put their chlorophyll drops in my water. I enjoy them so much. It is a daily ritual of mine that I shan't be stopping soon. If you are interested in Sakara, you guys can go on their website, sakara.com, and you can check out their menus for the week, the next week. So you can kind of see what's coming and you can select what looks good to you. And we're offering 20% off for our listeners of their first order when they go to sakara.com/retrograde.
Amazing.
And then if you enter the code retrograde, that 20% off will just happen right in your basket.
So head on over, check it out, get a meal, get a beauty essential, send one to your friend. Who knows, guys?
It's all just coming right to your door. What's not to love? Sakara.
We love it.
That's sakara.com/retrograde. Let her know we sent you. Use the code retrograde, get 20% off.
Let's take it back to the show, shall we?
Okay, so we got so many questions from listeners. I kind of want to just kind of use them to weave this conversation. And because we got so many, we're going to do specifics and we're going to do broad strokes questions too. Okay, so I'm just going to start at the top. How much do gaps in employment matter? As in, Is it bad to quit a job before you get a new one for hiring reasons?
So, like, I don't really believe in the good or bad binary. So I think it's very much about positioning. I think it's, if there's a really fantastic story for you to tell, so like, even if you were fired, let's say, even if you took a year off, well, what did you do in that year? How did you grow and develop in that year? And based on how you grew and developed, how can you make a contribution to this new role and this new space? So I think it's very much about what you've done with that year and the story that you tell with it.
Right. So if you have had a gap in employment, and the person interviewing, I'm like, interviewing, hiring, what are words about work? And the person and the person interviewing you is like, well, what happened between, you know, 2018 and 2020? And if you can explain that and really like highlight that you've been enriching yourself.
Yeah. So even let's take like this current moment, for example, of like a lot of people have been displaced with COVID. And so saying, well, I was displaced as a result of this moment that we're in. And here's actually how I used my time. So let's say if you work in marketing, for example, well, I took this time to brush up on my digital marketing skills and I did a Google AdWords certification. And so now in this current role, I feel even more qualified to step into this piece.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of questions around career pivots. I'm going to shout out one of them, but this is a broader situation. So she says, quarantine has been a huge eye-opener for me. I'm trying to transition from the HR accounting field into a more wellness-centered field. My current resume is completely HR-related. How can I make the transition, especially when many jobs ask for a year plus years experience? Actually, a lot of questions around people wanting to specifically pivot into wellness, mm-hmm. which is so cool. But yeah, this career pivot, and I think the block is like that need for experience.
Right. And so I think there's two pieces here. So I believe a lot of it originates in our mindset. So do you believe that you are worthy of these roles? Do you believe that you're qualified for these roles? So that's the first question I want you to answer for yourself. And then I think that there's practical steps that we can take to round out our experience. So before we jump off the cliff and we look for that new wellness role, you have an existing role, which is a beautiful place to be looking from. And so as you're in that accounting role, how can you dip your toe into this new area without going all in? And dipping your toe in is so beautiful because it allows you to step into something and feel in your body if this thing is right for you. Because until you do that, we just have an idea that it feels right for us. So you get to try it on for size while gaining experience and deciding if it's right for you.
I was going to say, my thought here, just in looking in this particular scenario, is like, why not explore HR and accounting related jobs within wellness focused businesses? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of those businesses aren't that massive.
Right.
And so you can kind of, and it is such a burgeoning, you know, field that, you know, getting in on a ground floor with a brand when it's in its inception that needs HR, that needs accounting help, and then, you know, focusing that skill into a wellness space.
I have an HR complaint that you keep sexually harassing me. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I get it. I'm hot. We need an HR department.
Yeah, we could use an HR apparently. So
yeah,
I think that's beautiful advice, Elizabeth. And actually, that's what I did in my career too. When I was transitioning from marketing, I then took roles as head of marketing for wellness companies. And then was like, oh, marketing still isn't right. Now what else do I want to do? So I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think this speaks to the other question too about the feelings that you get while you're transitioning. Because it seems to me like that's like a twofold sort of like, what if you're afraid that if you go from HR, that what you're doing to HR and wellness, it's still like lateral?
Yeah. So with career pivots and transition, the most important thing is that we give ourselves permission to play and to try things on for size, right? Because what I was saying before is that like you have an idea of this new role, but you don't know what it is until you stand in it. And so like for me in my career, it wasn't linear. It was kind of a spiral where I would get to one place and I'd be like, okay, this is closer, but still not the dream. Take another step, closer, but still not the dream. So everything's information. And if we approach the job search or the pivot as everything is information versus like it has to be this thing, it's a way more supportive thought and experience.
Yeah, I think just the thing that people run into is the financial side of it. Like it's all well and good to like be the hummingbird and like follow your bliss and try things on for size and see if they work. But I think that that's easier done, like perhaps in your 20s versus your 30s and where, you know, just So I feel the frustration and the roadblocks from knowing you're not in the right place and not really sure on the next right course of action.
Right. Yeah, no, it's so important. And every time I'm advising someone around career change, we're always upholding money and well-being at the same time, right? I never want anyone to be like looking from that place where they feel like they're in the space of lack, because then we end up making choices that aren't supportive of the long-term dream. So it's always trying to figure out of like, how do we get the short-term revenue and the short-term money so you feel supported so that we can actually hang out for the dream and try things on. And then even as you pivot, like there was a question, and maybe you'll ask me this and we'll address it, but someone was saying about, well, I'm transitioning to a new space and like how much of a pay cut should I take? Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe in that, you taking a pay cut, because you are one human, right? And you have all of these experiences and assets that you're bringing to the space, right? You're showing up in a space that requires new skills, but you are still this whole human that has made an incredible contribution. So like, why does that mean that you're worth less? Also, companies value diversity of experience and thought, and you coming from a different industry or category is that diverse experience. So I think there's really, it's really important to be creative in the comp conversation to make sure that you're always getting paid.
Well said.
When is there a good time to take a pay cut? Sorry, just in case that like has to happen, you know, like when, what would be the circumstance where you would say, I understand I still have value. I understand what I need to make, but this experience actually, you know, I have that conversation a lot with myself of, you know, the financial value versus like the rest of the value to me is sometimes equally as important.
Totally. So this goes back to what you value, right? So I always say that I'm like soul first, money second. So I could never take a job that wasn't aligned with my soul. Even if it, like someone came and they're like, Amina, we want you to like be the CMO of this company. They came to me like last year and I was just like, oh, hell no. And they're like, we're going to pay you a lot of money. I was like, no amount of money, no amount of money. And so I'm really clear for me, it always has to be soul first, money second. But that said, I really value money and it's important to me and it's freedom for me and it allows me to do the work that I want to do and live the life that I want to live. So really going back to your values and saying, well, which one is in front of money, but still upholding money in that conversation too. So going back to your question of when is it, does it make sense to take a pay cut? So in moments like now, for example, a lot of people are taking like 15, 20% salary cuts to stay in their same role, right? So if you really value the company, you value this work, that makes sense to do right now. But also having conversations with your managers around, well, how long is this for? And what does this trajectory look like? And even if you were stepping into a new role where you did take a pay cut, having that same conversation of, okay, like I am highly valuable, I'm bringing this to the table. Maybe I don't have these XYZ skills. So that's kind of the delta between what I want to be making and what I'm making now. So can we revisit this at interval as I'm building these skills so that we can get back to that comp level that feels good for me?
So this is bringing up another question, which I think is so important, about how to create a dialogue within an employer. Like I feel that confronting the person that supposedly has like the power over you can feel very daunting and scary and almost like you're putting your security at risk. So how does one like sort of create any dialogue with superiors, is that the right word, or people up the supply chain?
Yeah. I don't know.
You're just throwing out like business like, phrases.
Yeah. I'm like B2B. Like, I know nothing about business, but
MLM.
You know, like the circle of life, you know, how do we talk
online,
to people?
Like all of those phrases.
Let's take it to Slack.
Yeah. How do we create dialogue around all of the ways in which we create blocks around conversing with people that we perceive to have power over us, I guess is the right question.
Especially now where, you know, a lot of us are like working from home and it just feels very like
disconnected,
digitally focused and separated.
Yeah. I want to name two challenges in the workspace that I have seen. So I work with individuals and I also do a lot of corporate leadership training and things like that. And a lot of managers don't have leadership training. And then a lot of organizations are hierarchical, right? So in not having the leadership training, we don't know how to manage people effectively. And that hierarchy creates an above or below, right? Which is never really, like as humans, we are all in service to each other. So like, even if I report to you, like I'm in service to you and then I'm creating these deliverables for you and you're in service to me in that you're coaching me, you're training me, you're developing me. So like we're all in service to each other. And that's such a helpful thought for me and for my clients too. It kind of takes away that hierarchy, that fear around the above or below. I'd say that reframe is really important.
Okay.
And then if your manager hasn't had leadership training, isn't a strong leader, it's sometimes our responsibility to kind of manage up and provide the structure that we want and that's going to be supportive of us. So I always advocate for, are you having developmental one-on-ones with your manager? Because oftentimes we're just having check-ins. It's like, well, what are all the things that you did for me, right? The to-do list. But like, have you had a developmental one-on-one where they've provided you coaching or that you've provided feedback and they've provided you feedback? You want to have a mutual feedback session with your manager too. Even if they are quote-unquote superior to you, you want to make it reflexive because it's a two-way.
What are your suggestions for going about setting that up?
If your manager is someone who's a little bit daunting, put it in language that they'll understand. So instead of making it about you, make it about them and the organization. So I would love to sit down with you and have a conversation about my trajectory and how I can be most impactful for our team, the business, and the bottom line.
Ooh.
So something like that.
That's just gangster.
You know how it is, like people, you know, they hear things in a way that they can hear them. So what's the way that they can hear them?
It's kind of like that very easy psychological conversational tool where when you have a problem in a relationship, you're not supposed to be like, you make me feel like this. It's supposed to be like, I feel like you have to take the ownership as part of service of the dynamic instead of placing blame.
For sure, because that makes that person immediately defensive.
Yeah.
So what's going to make them want to take the meeting with you?
Right.
Right.
All right, guys, we got to take a break to talk about one thing that Elizabeth and I are obsessed with, and it's Feel CBD, okay? She's gotten her to hand right now, and I'm so annoyed that we're recording this over Zoom because otherwise I would open my mouth and have her drip the entire rest of it into my mouth.
Because that is friendship. Feel
is truly
one of our favorite discoveries within the CBD space. It's premium CBD that is delivered directly to your doorstep. Again, not leaving the house, things we love. This CBD helps you to naturally reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. I like to place a few drops under my tongue in the morning lately.
Mm-hmm.
Puts a little pep in the step.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I like a nighttime one too.
I mean, it also just tastes so good. It just kind of like makes you happy on whatever journey you need to go on.
It has this really earthy, delicious taste to it that like, you know, it's the good, good.
And if you're unclear about what to use CBD for, Feel offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal CBD experience. They have different dosages that they recommend for different things and they get it, guys. They really get it. What can I say?
Not one size fits all experience. And that is the core of their offering is that they're really going to help you figure out what works best for you.
Yeah.
So,
and the packaging is cute. Let's not forget.
I mean, the packaging is next level. You know, we love a font over here at That's So Retrograde, and they're really making it happen. So, join the Feels community to get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time.
And if you use our code, guess what you'll get?
Tell me.
This is a big deal. If you use Feels.com, FEALS.com/retrograde, you will get 50% off your first order with free shipping. Hello, Feels.com/retrograde to become a member and get 50% off. That's like pretty major.
So take the first step, try it, use our code retrograde, and then go from there. Again, that's
right.
FEALS.com/retrograde. Now back to the show.
Let's go back to breaking into a new field that's completely different from where we're at. So what is the advice of breaking into a competitive field when you have like little to no connections, but you're just feeling the call?
Yeah. So, you know, we talked a little bit about this before about like, are there ways that you can kind of dip your toe in a little bit to get experience, whether it's like volunteering, doing some pro bono work, just to get a little bit of experience. But then in terms of the networking piece, so even if you have one contact, you can really grow this exponentially. So I always invite people when they're setting up networking conversations to, yes, explore what you want to explore in that conversation. But your ask at the end of it is, one, how can I be of service to you? Because you want it to be reflexive and you don't want someone to feel like you're just taking from them. And then the second ask is, do you know two or three more people that you could introduce me to? So by virtue of that, you're keeping that conversation growing exponentially. So every week you have two, three, four, five, six more conversations on the calendar.
I want to ask this one about the sabbatical before the pivot, because I feel like that's really important.
Like, yeah.
sometimes you recognize that you're not in the right place, but you don't exactly know. Like, I guess I could compare. The question is, thoughts on taking a sabbatical before the pivot. Is there a sabbatical? If there is a sabbatical, what would you suggest during that time? And it's like the gap year between in a high school and college. It's like we should all be given the grace to have time to figure ourselves out. And yet we live in this world where that's almost like, or it has been. I wonder if COVID has kind of changed the way that people generally think about that as well.
The pace has certainly shifted.
Yeah.
I agree.
Forced pace.
Just turning shift. Back the dial on the how dial fast back. Everything is moving. Yeah.
I love the sabbatical question. Yeah. So I have changed careers 4 times in my life. And each time I jumped off the cliff. Like my life lesson is about being brave. Like my pattern is I can't wait for the thing to come along because it doesn't. Like I have to jump off and show the universe that I want this thing. And that's when it comes through.
Right.
So I have jumped off the cliff and I have took the quote unquote sabbatical that I didn't know was going to be a sabbatical because I thought the dream would come through faster. But anyway.
Oh, I hate that part of the manifesting. You're like, hello, I did it. And the universe is like, good for you. And you're like, great.
Just there. Yeah. So I think sabbaticals are really fantastic. If they help you get clearer on your purpose, if they help you get closer to your God self, and if you've done the work that you are really close to the dream. Because in the past, me and my clients, like we've jumped too soon and then you end up waiting and there's that moment of like, well, have I run out of money and have I planned for this correctly? So really doing the work the mindset work, planning for it practically, saving the money, and then using that time to get closer to your purpose and to your God self.
Or like also, is there a potentially like educating and putting yourself in a position to like learn more, even if it's not necessarily like earlier you talked about learning a certain program and like that all sounds good, but like sometimes you just like need to read books or need to chill but not have guilt about that. I feel like that's like a huge thing.
Yeah, guilt is definitely not supportive. And so like as you're thinking about the sabbatical, designing it. So if you feel called to learn a new body of work, so now you're transitioning into the great work of your life and you feel called to study Reiki or whatever it is that's really feeling supportive of this next iteration, please do it. If you feel like you're doing something because you quote unquote should.
Right.
Like anytime we're using the word should, we're in somebody else's belief system for us.
I love that.
So this is a really interesting and relatable question. I'm just going to read it. It says, as an extrovert, I'm having a hard time feeling motivated with remote work. I work in a creative field and thrive off of collaboration. My company is remote until 2021, and it seems like anywhere I apply would be the same. Thoughts on how to stay motivated at a depressing home office through painful work Zoom happy hours?
Oh, don't go to the happy hour.
Yeah. Oops, internet connection. Not good. Can't make
it. Sorry, my internet only works until you guys force me to drink with you and then it drops out.
But like, I fully understand, like, if you're used to that co-collaborative experience and all of a sudden you're at home until the rest of the year, like staying motivated, like what are the tips?
Yeah. So I think we really need to understand ourselves and how we move through the world. So as somebody who's extroverted, what are the pieces that you're missing right now? Do you miss spontaneity of conversation with people in the hallway? Do you miss human touch? Like what very specific pieces do you miss? And then how can you get those pieces in another way? And then how can you remove the things that really are just adding noise and not really filling you up, right? Because as we think of this moment, we're being asked to ruthlessly prioritize our lives, right? We're at home and like everything's changing. And so we're being asked, what are we going to take with us and what are we going to leave behind? So as an extrovert, what are you going to take with you? What do you need to cultivate in a new way or find a new way of getting? And then what are you going to release? Like those happy hours that don't serve you. So for example, like I refer to myself as an extroverted introvert. And one of the things that I miss the most is like, I love more than anything is like spontaneous conversation, like on the street with a random stranger in an elevator. Like I just love that. Like I'm so curious about strangers. And that's an interesting word. I don't think I like it. I'm so curious about people not in my community.
About new people. Yes.
I'm so curious about new people. And so I've just been randomly calling my friends, like randomly without a scheduled date, which they have told me is so personal, and asking them like, is there someone that I should talk to and someone that I should meet? And that's been feeling so juicy for me because it's another way to get what I was missing. And I think part of this goes back to what we were talking about earlier of like knowing when to switch off and on too, because like motivation, I think, is a challenge right now because we're being asked to cultivate not only resilience, but endurance, right? We're being asked to keep the pace for the long haul. We're basically running this ultra marathon and we have no idea where the finish line is.
We don't know how long it is.
No, we have no idea where the finish line is. No idea.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you stay motivated? And so thinking about the moments in your life where you've had to kind of go the distance and not knowing where that end is, how did you move through it, right? Oftentimes it means breaking things up into chunks or rewarding ourselves. So what do you need to put in place so that you can actually cultivate this endurance and go for the long haul?
The thing I love so much about your work is the foundation of mindset and how very often a session with you begins with a meditation to really drop in. And I'm seeing a through line in a lot of the questions we're going to, I mean, we got like probably 50 questions in like 2 hours. So I'm really like feeling the call in people's hearts around like certain themes. And one of the big things that is coming up is, again, as we said, like pivoting, new industry, all of that, or not being sure if you should follow that call in your heart. That following that little voice that might be saying, there's something else you want to be doing. And a lot of the questions are like, do I listen to it or do I not listen to it? And what's the first step if I decide to listen to
mm-hmm.
it?
There's the specific questions of like what to put on your resume, like what to say, like how to frame yourself. Like,
yeah,
I think those are kind of,
let's start with mindset stuff first. And then I want to get into like the resume cover letter of it all.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to talk about
listening to that. If we're feeling like that tiny little call mm-hmm. of like, I want to start that small business, or I've always wanted to be an interior designer and I want to leave my corporate job. I'll say that I think what a perfect time this is to do all of that, because the majority is starting at square one.
Yeah, I think it's a really beautiful time to do that. And I also think that this moment is asking us to really step deep into our authenticity, right? With so many people unemployed, it means that we need to stand out even more. How do we stand out? By being the youest you. So I think that these rumblings that we're all hearing are an invitation to come home to ourselves. Absolutely. But it can be so scary to trust that voice and to decide to go all out for it, which is why I advocate for kind of like a leapfrog approach of like, how can I take one right action in the direction of my dreams today? And then after that, how can I take the next right action? So you don't need to, if you have a job now, you don't need to quit your job and then jump off the cliff with no plan and try things out. You can take a step-by-step approach and see if something feels right for you in your heart. I always say too, I think jealousy is a really helpful emotion. And a lot of people don't agree with me on that, but thinking about the people whose careers you are jealous of, there's information in there for you because you see part of your greatness in them. And that's what's calling you to it.
So Glennon Doyle talked about that when she started blogging and how she used to like hate people who are writers.
I love that.
And she was like, that's how I knew that I should be writing, because I was insanely jealous of everyone else who was writing.
Right. What you see in them is inherent in you. And so we have an obligation to ourselves to explore that.
Great. So I think what I'm seeing a through line in on top of that is people who have lost their jobs, furloughed with however many years, let's say 5 years experience in one thing, and then start and then having that call, but like don't have the resume to back up what it is that they're being called to doing. And I think we talked a little bit, we gave some suggestions, but like stage one mindset wise.
Yeah. So stage one mindset wise is safety first, right? So if you've lost your job, we need to find you work so you can get money ASAP. And, you know, work that doesn't feel really misaligned with you. So let's say you worked in accounting and you want to now be a yoga instructor. Where can we make money for you right now so that then you can get to the place where you feel free to explore being a yoga instructor? So we want to take care of that safety first so that you're freed up to then think about the dream. So, okay, like do we get another job, an accountant at a wellness firm like you were saying? Or do we do some part-time accounting work for entrepreneurs that work in the wellness space? Things like that. How can we get creative? But first and foremost, from a mindset perspective, we need to take care of your safety. And then the second thing is how do we come up with that lily pad leapfrog approach of, okay, what's the first right action I can take? So now that I've got the safety piece in place and I'm consulting for these wellness entrepreneurs as an accountant, now I'm going to start to take a couple different yoga classes and see what really lights me up. And if there's a particular practice that I'm really called to, then I'm going to see if there's a really inexpensive online training that I can dip my toe into to, again, see if this feels really juicy for me. And then every step of the way, checking in with ourselves to say, does this still feel like the right path?
So really being clear on a dream to go back to is what I'm hearing, that kind of helps guide the tiny steps.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an advocate for writing the dream for sure. But then I think the dream changes every time we show up and stand in something. So writing the dream, deciding what you want to go all out for, and then every step of the way, reevaluating it.
I love that, because then it's not stagnant and you're not like holding yourself to something that once you experience it actually doesn't serve you.
Totally. Because that has so happened to me. I'm like, oh, I'm going to like go do this thing. And it's going to be so amazing. And I arrived there and I was like, oh, I chased the shiny object. And now that I'm here, it doesn't feel good in my body. Mm-hmm. And now I'm taking this information and I'm moving to the next thing.
And I think to this time, like the shiny object of it all has really lost its gleam for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell was I chasing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all being asked to look at ego in a big way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I know that you have, which is a free dream career worksheet. Talk to us about that layout and we can all access that.
Beautiful. Yes. This is my gift to you all. And this is a great starting place for this conversation. So if you're not really clear on what your purpose is or what you feel called to do, it helps guide you through finding your genius and your gifts, naming the spaces that really do bring you joy, what you want to impact in this world, what you need as you create all of this, so that you can then create that lens through which you push every opportunity through. So as something arises, let's say for the accountant who's segueing into yoga, you know, an amazing studio comes knocking and, you know, they're not honoring their value and it doesn't have the impact that they want to have, then you're quite clear that that's a no for you. So it becomes a really nice lens moving forward too.
It's beautiful. Okay. I think what we're going to end up doing is not one, but like maybe some multiple IG lives to like answer some more specific questions for our listeners. Cause as we've been having this conversation, even more are coming in. And so I'm just like being really affirmed that the work you're doing and what we can do to help support and kind of like be a bridge to helping some people get some clarity is the right move. So, thank you so much, Amina. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
Thank you so much. And I hope this was of the highest service. You can find me on Instagram at Amina Altai, and the spelling will be in the show notes. And my website is the same. It's aminaaltai.com, spelling also in the show notes.
Beautiful. We love you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
My honor, my joy. Thank you.
Wow, I feel like Amina left us with a lot of things to think about. And as you said, you're going to be going live with her next week, right?
Yeah. To piggyback on that Instagram break conversation.
Wait, can we quit Instagram and still do Instagram live?
I'm not sure, but I'm feeling really called to hold that conversation because we literally, within the 24 hours since we put out a call to action for listener questions, which I thought like maybe it'll just help guide the convo. We had so many specific questions that, as I said, I'd really like to offer us to be a bridge to really offer some guidance. So said this at the top, but this isn't to turn off what's happening in the world. I just truly believe that and question if Instagram is really the best place to be getting our much needed education right now. Mm-hmm. And it's an offering to seek other platforms and other tomes, let's say.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, Instagram is owned by Facebook, so it's clearly the devil. So let's not get that
so
twisted.
So we're currently seeking new platforms.
Yeah. Do we need to invent a platform? Like, it just feels so hard. You know, yeah, we're on a rant about the Instagrams and the internet and the overwhelm, and it's a lot. That being said, we both have consumed a few things that were extremely eye-opening and educational and entertaining, and they did not happen on Instagram. So I just wanted to shout out very, very dope show on Netflix that I think came out earlier this year, 2019. Killer Mike, rapper, Run the Jewels, activist, Politico, very, very brilliant minded man with the greatest smile in the universe.
Huge fan.
A true light of this world, has a show called Trigger Warning on Netflix. I'm really, really hoping that they make a new season because it just really, really illuminates a lot of issues in a very also thought-provoking but fucking hilarious way. Like, as sad as I was for some things, I was also like crying laughing because of the way that they framed it and cut it and put it together. So if I ever see Crippa-Cola in a supermarket, you bet your ass I'll be buying that shit.
Yes, everyone should watch it. Steph turned me on to it and I loved that watching experience so much. Something that's on a little bit more of a serious note, but I have to point out because I haven't been as moved by a piece in quite a long time. There, Netflix adapted the play American Son for the platform, which is a four-person play that explores the themes of race on a marital, maternal, and societal level. And it's just this beautiful piece that will rock the shit out of you. Like, it kind of spits you out at the end, get the tissues, but it is so incredible and it speaks so beautifully to this current moment that we're in terms of police brutality. It was written in 2018, but it is just as relevant now, unfortunately. But so if anyone's in the mood to like cry and think, that's anyone else with me?
And wow, also, Siskel and Ebert, really?
Two thumbs up. Another beautiful documentary
two tears up.
That I just watched is The Death and Life of Marsha P. Johnson. Have you seen this one, Steph?
No, I haven't watched that one yet.
It's a beautiful exploration around a transgendered figure in the early 90s in New York City.
I know of her. She was supposedly the first person to throw something in Stonewall.
Oh.
Right?
They didn't mention that in the doc.
Yeah.
But I'm into that lore. Beautifully done documentary for those of us who love a good topical documentary.
We love it.
Love it.
Love it. I'm also reading the Robert Kennedy memoir by Jack Newfield. And I've always been obsessed with Robert Kennedy. And I feel like right now the thing that we're lacking is, it's a lot of things, but mostly it's clear, good leadership. And something I've been asking myself a lot is, we have this leadership voice as with this podcast, but I've been asking myself, like, what is the way in which our leadership can level up in a time that needs more from us? And reading about inspirational, influential people really helps me to fortify in that way. And like, though it's heartbreaking because he was, murdered and really could have been someone to really change the course of history, there's still so much space for incredible leadership to emerge right now. And I think that's a positive angle of how fucked up all this is. So, highly recommend checking in with just the ways in which he was able to really change as a person and then unite people through his own evolution. I think that's very inspiring.
I'm going to check out the doc that I've never seen.
Oh, the doc. If you feel like crying, that's our whole review platform. If you feel like crying.
If you feel like crying and just being rocked to your core.
Live in 2020.
Here's some content for you.
And just be alive right now.
Oh, truer words have never been spoken.
Yeah.
Stephanie.
Love you.
But I love you and I love our listeners. And, we want to honor the fact that, it's okay to not be firmly planted on the ground at every moment. There's ups, there's downs. Know your tools, know the things that can bring you some solace and can soothe you in the moment. My biggest thing is like anytime I'm feeling, worked up or anxious or challenged right now, I'm just doing like a little simple check-in, just kind of finding something that is within my eyeline that lights up my soul. And I recommend everybody try a little bit of that right now too.
And I'll let you guys know on how far I get on my notes on the Constitution. So far, I can tell you that George Washington has big dick energy, and that's as far as I've gotten.
All right. Like we said, we've got a lot of wonderful conversations that we're looking forward to bringing to you. And we'll see you here next week.
All I'm saying is it takes a lot of confidence to rock that hair.
Truly.
All right, guys. We love you. Namaste listening.
Bye.
Bye. Yes, that's a retrograde.